This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar energy is a great solution to climate destruction and energy independence and provides a lot of jobs. So why is public policy for solar better in New Jersey, Long Island, and Connecticut than New York City? I'm Ken Gale, and I'll be speaking with three solar installers and a Sierra Club activist Wednesday morning from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. May 28th here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. That's Wednesday, May 28th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Solar power, inexpensive energy.
And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for?
People who listen to WBAI have a better understanding of history and how it unfolds. They are generally much more knowledgeable than the rest of the population about current events.
I heard somebody say, "Now, where's Mandela?" Well, Mandela's dead because Saddam Hussein killed all the Mandelas.
Now, he obviously doesn't listen to WBAI. Don't fall victim to the same level of confusion. Listen and support WBAI Radio.
All right, and here we go. It's 2 minutes after midnight here on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, La Manzana Grande. So big thanks to everybody who gave it up for Delphine Blue and Shocking Blue, and it looks like she did pretty good. So you know what's coming up next, gang. It's time for you to give it up for this.
Ported.
No. Excuse me. Battling the controls. Okay, one more time. For this. This. Right. Moorish. Orthodox. Radio. Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Azuma orzul nuazan mazidga azi, wiyakhrek tjirwan azmin kami, jirit silla khore yardu yanda, wiy,
Ерит силях лер дуэн дави, ерит ах, 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 ах. Хадаса вам далья ладим, ерит ах, ах, хадаса вам далья ладим, ерит ах, 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 ах.
Admit, the music that we play in the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade is really just about as good as it gets, isn't it? I mean, come on, who's kidding who, right? Okay, that was Bali Othmani, a Tuareg musician from Algeria, playing the oud with Steve Shahan and American Cherokee on percussion, of all things. Interesting. And we're going to be hearing a little bit more from Bali Othmani tonight, as well as giving you some reports on various political and ethnic conflict on the African continent, which has to do with the premium which we are offering this evening. About which I will say more shortly. But, you know, certainly all of our listeners out there are aware that we are in the midst of a fund drive here at WBAI. And we are calling upon all of our listeners out there to support us in our hour of need. Once again, because that's what listener-supported radio is about. It's about the listener supporting it. And this is a point which we always have to make, that that's what the model is based on. It's based on listener support, which is why we don't have to have commercials. Instead of having commercials, we have to periodically harangue you. The listeners out there, to give up your loot. And, well, you know, I try to keep the programming informative and entertaining and didactic, even in spite of the fact that I have to harangue. You know, we're going to try to make the pill go down as sweetly as possible. But basically what it comes down to is this. There are a certain number of people out there who are listening, hearing the sound of my voice right at this very moment, who are members of WBAI, who have pledged either during this fund drive or during previous fund drives, and we thank you. We thank you. There are also a certain number of people out there who are listening to the sound of my voice right now who are not members of WBAI. And, well, you know, if you want WBAI to be here, you should put your shoulder to the wheel and do your part, just like all the other people who are members of WBAI, and become a part of this institution. Not just, you know, support us as if we're some distant entity out there, but actually become a part of this institution. Because when you become a member of WBAI, you have a voice at WBAI, and you get to vote for the listener board, support the candidates and the political tendencies of your choice in the unfolding democratic process here at WBAI and at the Pacifica Network generally. And you get, of course, you get the folio in the mail, and you get to find out when all your favorite shows are on and get the, all the inside scoop about what's happening here at the station. And as a gesture of our appreciation, you also get premiums. And the premium which we're going to be offering tonight is once again going to be the same one we offered last week, which is our interviews that we did, we being the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, that we did over the past several years, two interviews, one with Sheikh Anwar Makin, the exiled king of Nubia, and a opposition activist and advocate of ethnic coexistence and equal rights and justice in the land of Sudan. And the other is with Thomas Mopfumo, who certainly is familiar to many of our listeners as one of the superstars of the Afro-pop genre and the so-called Conquering Lion of Zimbabwe, thusly named for his songs which attacked white minority rule under the Ian Smith regime back in the 1970s. He became an icon of the liberation movement. But as you'll hear when we delve into some of the interview, because last week we played a lot of the interview with Sheikh Anwar Makin, tonight we'll play a little bit of the interview with Thomas Mopfumo. You'll see that he is today a critic, at least, of the Robert Mugabe regime. He's sort of a dissident. And this is a situation which is in the headlines right now. So both of, I would say that both of these interviews, even though they were recorded several years ago, the one with Sheikh Anwar Makin, exiled king of Nubia, was recorded 12 years ago, right here in the studios of WBAI. And the other, with Thomas Mopfumo, was recorded 5 years ago, mostly at my apartment, and backstage at Joe's Pub, where he had just done a gig. But both of these interviews are extremely relevant to things which are in the news right now. And as we discussed last week, Sheikh Anwar Makin had told us way back when we did that interview in the year 1996, live over the airways of WBAI, he had told us about the oppression of the Darfuri people, the indigenous Fur and Zagawa peoples of Darfur. And neither me nor Peter Lamborn Wilson, who was then the host of the show and I was sort of his sidekick, we were conducting the interview together, and neither of us had ever heard of this place called Darfur that Sheikh Anwar Makin was telling us about and the oppression that was going on there and the deportation of the indigenous people as slaves to work in the state-supported cotton plantations of the central Nile Valley region of Sudan, being deported from their homeland in Darfur in the far western deserts of the country to these big, centralized, you know, heavily irrigated, big state cotton projects in the center of the country to work as slaves. So this is, you know, vital background to the conflict in Sudan, because people were aware of the situation which was then going on. You know, there was the war between the SPLA in the south and the Khartoum regime in the north, and the southern peoples of Sudan, who were being taken as war captives, were being sold into slave labor. We were aware of that. But there was very little awareness that there was this whole other conflict going on in the west of the country with Darfur. So that interview was extremely prescient. And that's one half of the premium which we're going to be offering tonight. The other half, once again, is the interview with Thomas Mopfumo. And it's sort of a case of history repeating itself, because when I interviewed him, it was in 2002, which was the last time that there were contested elections in Zimbabwe, and the last time that the opposition candidate, Morgan Tsvangirai, asserted that his victory had been stolen from him by fraud by the government of Robert Mugabe. And lo and behold, exactly that has just happened again. And there is going to be a runoff election next month. Finally, the government of Robert Mugabe has released the results of the initial election after a long delay in doing so, which was a point of a bitter contest between the regime and the opposition. And apparently there's going to be a runoff election next month, and it's going to be very interesting to see which way it goes. And meanwhile, there are reports from the from Morgan Tsvangirai's people and his opposition movement, the Movement for Democratic Change, or MDC, that militias, which are supported by the ruling ZANU-PF, Mugabe's party, are attacking his supporters, and that 43 members of the MDC have been killed since the elections last month, and many, many more have been forced to flee their homes. So what makes it all a complicated situation, of course, is that, I mean, all of us progressives and lefties, we always know what to think when it's a case like Colombia or Palestine, and the government, which is engaging in these kinds of repressive activities, is one which our government is backing. When it goes the other way, it gets a little bit complicated, because our government, of course, would like to see Robert Mugabe out of power. And certainly there is a sort of an imperialist destabilization campaign which is being waged against the Robert Mugabe government. And certainly the issue which Mugabe has used to his advantage of land reform, and the need to finally, after all these years, break up the white planter elite and their land holdings in Zimbabwe and redistribute the lands to the indigenous peoples of the land of Zimbabwe, that's a legitimate issue, certainly. But that doesn't mean that there aren't also legitimate criticisms of Mugabe. And certainly that's what... in terms of being anti-democratic and engaging in thuggery and so on, it's exactly what Thomas Mapfumo talks about in the interview that I did with him back in 2002. And now history seems to be repeating itself, and all of the claims which he was making about attacks on the opposition and so on back in 2002, it's only escalated this time around in the year 2008. So, once again, turned out to be a very timely and pressing interview. Now, we'll hear at least a few minutes of it to give the listeners a tease and give them a sense of what they can get if they become a member of WBAI right now and support the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. This is going to be your last opportunity to do so, because this is the last night that we're pitching in this fund drive. So this is the last time which we are offering this particular premium. So you know what? We're going to hear a little bit more music. I'm going to give the number, which is 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And Gerald and Jerome and the other heroic volunteers are back in Tally waiting for your call at 212-209-2950. And for a pledge of $75, you'll get the interviews which we're offering tonight. For a minimum pledge of $25, you'll become a member of the station. And there's a whole series of other sums which you can pledge, which will get you various other premiums, T-shirts and mugs and that sort of thing. But I failed to bring that information into the studio with me. So I have to go out of the studio and find it, which is why we're going to break for some music right now. We're going to hear a little bit more. Here's the game plan, okay, folks? I promise you this is going to be an interesting show in spite of the haranguing. Here's the game plan. We're going to be hearing a little bit more of Bali Othmani, Algerian Tuareg musician on the oud. And then we're going to hear a little bit from Thomas Mopfumo, both his recorded music from his classic album, which he released in 2002, and he was on tour promoting it when I interviewed him, Chimurenga Rebel. And then we're going to hear some samples from the interview. And then we'll hear some more music, and that should take us to the end of the show. And somewhere in there as well, I'll be giving some updates on the situation in Sudan and the situation in Zimbabwe and the situation with the ongoing Tuareg revolt in the Central Sahara. So this is your opportunity to support us. I should mention, by the way, that this is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Listener-supported and non-commercial radio is a very important concept. It means that we don't take any commercials because the listeners support us. And therefore, this is this is radio which actually exists in a certain sense outside of the capitalist economy and is not merely a commodity which is being bought and sold, the airwaves being treated as a commodity being bought and sold, and your ears being treated as a commodity being bought and sold in the advertising market. This is truly a community institution, a temporary autonomous zone, if you will. And if you're going to support it, if you support it remaining an autonomous zone and a community institution, that means that you have to support it with your money, because that's how the system works. Unfortunately, we're not so far outside of the capitalist economy that we don't need money, okay? We do need money. We live in the capitalist world, but we try not to function according to its rules. But that means that it's incumbent upon us to pass the hat every once in a while. And if you appreciate, in particular, if you appreciate what we do on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, this is your moment to support us. And if you appreciate what I do, I'm Bill Weinberg, and I'm obsessed with, as many of our listeners know, with seemingly obscure ethnic and ethnic conflicts and environmental struggles and autonomy movements of small ethnicities around the world, including Africa, also Latin America, the Middle East. And I try to give fairly exacting reports and interviews with the leaders of these kinds of movements on this radio show. Anne-Marie Hendrickson, who is our once and future co-host, who will be back on these airwaves, gives her extremely astute deconstructions of popular culture and book reviews. And whatever we do, we try to be true to the tradition of our founder, Peter Lamborn Wilson, whose voice you heard last week, conducting the interview with Sheikh Anwar Makin. And he engaged in both of these sorts of things. He engaged in, reports on obscure ethnic struggles in the Islamic world, as well as his own sorts of idiosyncratic takes on Americana. Significantly, what he tried to do, and both Anne-Marie and I tried to live up to this legacy, is to give you something which is different, which is sort of the alternative to the alternative, if you will. Something which is offbeat and original and truly free-thinking, and not merely putting forth a dogma or a position. So that's the spirit of this show. And if you feel that there is a place for this kind of radio, well, it's really incumbent upon you to put your shoulder to the wheel and support it with your hard-earned money. So we're going to play a little bit more music now. Going to hear a little bit more Bali Othmani, Algerian Tuareg musician playing the oud. And while we're doing that, I would really appreciate it if some people would call 212-209-2950 and get the tally moving. Because right now, it stands at zero. Give the heroic volunteers back there in the tally room something to do by calling 212-209-2950 and pledging at least $25 to become a member of this radio station. And send a message to management and the powers that be around here that you appreciate something as unorthodox as the somewhat ironically named Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Okay, let's hear a little bit more of Bali Othmani. Let's see. Why don't we hear... I think we just heard cut three, so why don't we hear cut four?
كبر وريق الزاز إنن هي برشي وارد فزا سمي.
Actually, you know what? We just did hear cut four. Let's hear cut five.
Kalina, 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 Nusash. shit gadin 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 asna gadin 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 anu sa shit gadin 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 asna
out with the Algerian Tuaregs and Bali Othmani on the oud. And, well, the most recent news is that the Tuareg ceasefire has broken down once again in Mali, which means that there's now a Tuareg revolt going on in both Mali and in Niger. And the insurgency seems to be spreading. And people may have been aware that there's been, well, last week when we were talking about the Darfur rebels, the GEM, the Justice and Equality Movement, had actually launched an attack on Khartoum, the capital of Sudan. And there was a lot of talk about the situation escalating, where the government of Sudan was accusing Chad of being behind the GEM rebels. And they cut off relations with Chad, cut off diplomatic relations, and sealed the border and so on. And I said I would give an update on that situation next week, and I will give an update because it changed in a rather dramatic and unpredicted way, also very ominous. So in just a minute, I'll give an update on the situation in Sudan. But first, let me make aware that the name of the CD which we're offering with both the interviews with Sheikh Anwar Makin and Thomas Mopfumo is Historical Perspectives on Africa, and it can be yours for a pledge of $75. The minimum pledge is $25 to become a member of WBAI. Now, just for $5 more, just for $30 more, you can get a WBAI t-shirt with a purple heart. It's a purple t-shirt with a graphic of a winged heart. And it says WBAI Radio with Heart, founded by pacifists. Produced by our dear old Uncle Sidney Smith. And we're going to go to Iraq together, right, Uncle Sidney? We got to get that budget so we can go to Iraq together. So for $30, you not only become a member of the radio station, you also get the t-shirt so you can announce to the world that you are a member of WBAI. And for $65, you get a WBAI cap, which is black with gold lettering, or for just $10 more than that, $75, you get the special Historical Perspectives on Africa CD featuring my interviews with Sheikh Anwar Makin, exiled king of Nubia, and Thomas Mopfumo, the conquering lion of Zimbabwe and Afro-pop superstar. And the tally stands at a whopping zero. So it's time for somebody out there to call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. So, let's see. Okay, why don't we give a brief update on Sudan for a moment. Well, what happened over the course of the last week, which hadn't been particularly anticipated, is, well, as listeners will be aware, as we mentioned earlier, there was, for a generation, there was war between the SPLA, the Sudan People's Liberation Army, in the south, who wanted actual separatism. They wanted to secede from Sudan and have their own state of black African peoples, mainly the Dinka people, as opposed to the Arab-dominated regime in the north, which since the coup d'etat of 1989 has been under the Islamic National Salvation Front. So this war went on until 2005 when they reached a power sharing agreement, and today the leadership of the SPLA all have vice president and ministry positions in the government in Khartoum. It's sort of an alliance, although a very uneasy alliance, between the Sudan People's Liberation Army and the Islamic National Liberation Front. So Islamic National Salvation Front, forgive me. And additionally, the South has got autonomy. not a separate state, but it's autonomous within Sudan. And at some point within the next 5 years, there is going to be a referendum on whether the South is going to actually be able to secede. But it doesn't happen immediately. Well, the question has been of where to draw the line between North and South and how much land is actually going to go into the Southern Autonomous Zone, and which will have the option of voting to secede sometime within the next 5 years when the referendum is held. Well, there is one area which is claimed by both sides, quite significantly an oil-rich area called Abyei, which is in the middle of Sudan, and it straddles the border between North and South Sudan. And because it is claimed by both sides, it was never clarified when the agreement was drawn up in 3 years ago, in 2005. It was never clarified who it was going to go with, whether it was going to go up the North or whether it was going to go up the South. And the population there is mostly Dinka, but there is a significant population of a nomadic Arab group known as the Meseria. And what's been happening over the past several weeks is that the Meseria, who are pastoralists and herders and basically nomadic, they have been moving into the Abyei region from the north. And this is as a function of the expansion of the Sahara, which in turn is tied to global warming, and also has a lot to do with the conflict in Darfur, where the nomadic Arab peoples and the pastoral Arab peoples of the north, because their land is becoming desert, because it is drying rapidly and the desert is spreading south, they have had to start to move with their herds into the south. Move towards the south in order to find good grazing land, and started to move into the traditional territory of the sedentary and agricultural black African peoples of Darfur, the Zaghawi and the Four peoples. Well, the same thing is now happening in Abyei, where the Meseria Arab nomads are starting to push into the south, into the lands of the Dinka people around Abyei. And this is in part a sort of an inevitable or natural process, because as noted, as with the spread of the Sahara, they are forced to move south to in order to get, you know, grazing land, in order to have good grazing land. But apparently they are being encouraged also to... This whole process is being sort of officially encouraged by the regime in Khartoum as a means of grabbing that territory, Abyei, for the north. And the Meseria Arabs are being set up with arms by the Sudanese army, the Sudanese armed forces, and they're forming militias. So it's exactly sort of the same model which occurred, you know, beginning 5 years ago in Darfur with the establishment of the Janjaweed militias. Well, the same thing is now, it looks like the same sort of process is replicating itself now in the Dinka territory of Abyei. So what happened over the course of the past week is that the SPLA fighters, who were supposedly observing a ceasefire, started fighting back against the Meseria militias, who had been pushing into Dinka territory and apparently displacing Dinka people from their homes. And there was actually a firefight between the SPLA and the Meseria Arab militia, and the Sudanese armed forces entered the fray and actually started indiscriminately shelling the territory of Abyei, according to the reports which we've gotten from New Sudan Vision and Sudan Tribune, which are both opposition-oriented newspapers, mostly based on the web and produced in exile, not within Sudan, but they've got their people on the ground in Sudan who report anonymously, because if they did so openly, I would imagine that their lives would be in danger. So the ceasefire between the government of Sudan and the SPLA was broken over the course of the past week. So now, in addition to this escalation of the Darfur situation, where you've got apparently there are still significant elements of the Darfur rebels, the JEM, the Justice and Equality Movement, in the capital, in Khartoum now, and they're being hunted down by the security forces and the ethnic Darfuris, the ethnic Fur and Zagawa peoples of the capital, are being rounded up. Well, in addition to that, and the whole international crisis with Chad, in addition to that, now you've also got the whole situation exploding over Abyei, and the ceasefire apparently breaking down between the SPLA and the government of Sudan. So rapidly escalating. And very interesting, in addition to while all of this is going on, the United States government has actually been in so-called normalization talks with the government of Sudan, which is a bit of an irony because, of course, you know, it's been in the news that George Bush sort of unsubtly dissed Barack Obama for, you know, being willing to talk with sponsors of terrorism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here's the government of Sudan, which is actually accused of genocide by the United States in Darfur. And apparently the United States has been sitting down with negotiators from Khartoum to so-called, you know, normalize relations. Well, with the newest outbreak of violence with the SPLA, those talks have now been called off. So this is definitely a situation which bears watching, and it's sort of, you know, it's a very interesting sort of case study in how all of this, you know, how it all works together. The war on terrorism, so-called, which is actually a war for control of oil. And here we have Abyei, which is the most oil-rich region of Sudan, being fought over. You know, questions of ethnic autonomy, questions of ecology and global climate change, all sort of, you know, coming together, all sort of interlocking and creating this rapidly escalating conflict. So, once again, critical background to this conflict can be heard on the CD, which we are offering, entitled Historical Perspectives on Africa, which features an interview with Sheikh Anwar Makin, the exiled king of Nubia and exiled Sudanese opposition activist and advocate of ethnic coexistence and local autonomy for the indigenous peoples of Sudan. So, including the Darfuris and the Dinka, and et cetera, and his own people, most significantly the Nubians, et cetera, who are in the northern Nuba Mountains along the Egyptian border. So, once again, a pledge of $75, and this will be yours, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And now we should perhaps take a brief look at the situation in Zimbabwe. Well, maybe, you know, some listeners out there who understand Tuareg can tell us what Bali Othmani was singing about. But meanwhile, perhaps there's some listeners out there who understand Shona who can tell us what Thomas Mapfumo is singing about on this cut, which we're about to hear from his 2002 album, Chimurenga Rebel. Let's hear a little bit more of Thomas Mapfumo. Please do keep the calls coming to 212-209-2950.
Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe.
Garn, I meant to go right into the interview with Thomas Mapfumo, but I got the number wrong, and I started the interview with the opening music from the interview which we did with Sheikh Anwar McKean. All right, well, since I started talking here, I should give a little bit of background to the interview with Thomas Mapfumo. Now, I note that it's 12:58 in the morning, which means that it's 2 minutes of 1 o'clock in the morning, which means that we only have about a half an hour to go, and the tally stands at $135, which is a little suboptimal, let's say. So I really urge people to call 212-209-2950 if you appreciate the programming which we do here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. This is, by the way, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on listener-supported, non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City. And listener-supported, non-commercial radio means that the listeners have got to support it in order for it to remain non-commercial. So as I said at the beginning, there's a certain number of you people out there who are listeners who are also members, who have made a pledge to this radio station, either during this fund drive or during a previous fund drive, and we applaud you. We applaud you right now. Yes! Give it up for the members, yeah! There's also a certain number of you people out there who are listening to Sound of My Voice right now, and who often listen to the Sound of My Voice, and the sound of the other producers here at WBAI, who are not members. And it's really incumbent upon you to become members, because you are not going to miss WBAI until it's gone. If you want it to remain here, it's really, it's just sort of logic that you have to support it. You're not going to miss it until it's gone, okay? And, you know, it's not comforting to think these apocalyptic thoughts. But, you know, it really is possible now that we have, you know, nuclear weapons, and now that the world climatological system seems to be in a state of radical destabilization, it is possible to imagine the Earth uninhabited. Right? It's not pleasant, but it is possible to imagine an uninhabited planet. Similarly, given, you know, the deep economic crisis, which New York City and the country and the world appear to be rapidly plunging into, and the shrinking of space for entities which are not a part of the capitalist economies of scale, the actual shrinking of social space for entities which are not a part of the system of globalization, it is also possible to imagine a world without WBAI. And that's a really scary thought. That is a very, very unpleasant thought. So now BAI is a part of the general resistance on the all-too-slippery slope towards an uninhabited world through trying to raise awareness of questions of global climate destabilization, war and peace, nuclear weapons, etc. We're trying to be a part of, shall we say, a counter vortex. If the whole world is sinking down into this vortex towards war and totalitarianism and ecological collapse, WBAI is a counter vortex, which is starting to, just in a small way, try to create some energy which is going in the other direction, back towards democracy, sustainability, participation. And we want that counter vortex not only to be around, but to grow. So if you understand what this fundamentally unorthodox and radically democratic and oppositional project, which is WBAI in Pacifica, is about, we urge you to make a pledge, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. If all you can afford is $25, then by all means, pledge $25. If all you can afford is $10, then by all means, pledge $10, although it won't make you a member of the station. $25 will make you a member of the station. And as we've noted before, $30 will get you the lovely WBAI t-shirt with the flaming winged heart produced by our dear old Uncle Sidney Smith. And $75 will get you the Historical Perspectives on Africa CD with Sheikh Anwar Makin, exiled King of Nubia, and Thomas Mopfumo, the Conquering Lion of Zimbabwe. Okay, now, let's take a look at what's been going on in Zimbabwe over the course of the last week. Well, the opposition movement for democratic change has accused President Robert Mugabe's government of setting up a what they call a sham investigation into the electoral violence, which is intended to deflect international criticism without actually addressing the violence, which they say continues. The MDC says that 43 of its supporters have been killed and scores forced from their homes by militias loyal to Mugabe since the disputed March elections. This is backed up, by the way, by a recent Amnesty International report, which is documenting the violence. Meanwhile, you know, in the economic chaos, many thousands of Zimbabweans have been forced to flee the country to South Africa. And we've read the really horrifying stories from South Africa over the past weekend, where there are actual pogroms which are breaking out against immigrants, mostly from Zimbabwe, but also from Mozambique and Malawi and other neighboring countries. So now, when we take a look at the situation in Zimbabwe, you know, we have to, there's a lot of questions which we have to ask ourselves. And I understand that there is a natural tendency to rally around Mugabe for a couple of reasons, you know, and related reasons. The first is that he is, of course, the target of a sort of, you know, neocon destabilization campaign, which we have to oppose, because imperialist meddling in the African continent is not going to help Zimbabwe or any other country in the region address its own internal dilemmas and contradictions. And secondly, and this is related, of course, is that, you know, Mugabe is an extremely oppositional figure vis-a-vis imperialism and the West and globalization. And is actually, you know, the issue which he has very deftly appropriated of land reform and of redistributing the lands from the white planter elite, which still accrues a disproportionate share of the fertile land in Zimbabwe, now a generation after the fall of the white supremacist regime. Well, that's a legitimate issue. Without a doubt, that's a legitimate issue. So, you know, this is what sort of makes the question complicated. But the question which we need to ask ourselves is, you know, how do we feel about, you know, the fact that, you know, militias are being armed and to attack members of the opposition? And that some, you know, 40 members of the opposition have been killed, and many more, scores, have been forced to flee their homes by militias. Now, is our position A, is our position that these are all lies, that these are just, you know, imperialist lies, and that the MDC is entirely a creature of imperialism, and that Amnesty International has also been co-opted and has become part of a imperialist propaganda campaign? Is that our position? Which immediately raises problematic questions, such as, you know, this means that we also have to dismiss what Amnesty International has to say about Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay if we're going to dismiss what they say about Zimbabwe. Or is our position that we support this kind of thing, that we support militias being armed and used as an instrument of political terror against opponents of the regime. Do we support this kind of thing when it is in the interest of a regime which is standing up to imperialism? Now, I can't think of a third position. It's got to be either one or the other. And I would like to, I think that, you know, the argument or about around this issue sort of needs to be forced. It needs to be addressed. You know, we should face the question forthrightly instead of fudging it. And I fear that too often the anti-imperialist left generally, whether it's Zimbabwe or Venezuela or even, you know, Bolivia. And generally, I'm extremely enthusiastic about, you know, the changes which have taken place in Bolivia since the election of Evo Morales. But I'm not too happy about, even if the, by way of analogy, even if we completely reject the autonomy vote, which just took place in Santa Cruz in the lowlands of Bolivia, even if we completely reject it as illegal and unconstitutional and illegitimate, as well as politically reactionary and racist and merely an element of, you know, the white Latino elite who don't want to share power with the indigenous peoples in the lowlands of Bolivia, even if that's entirely how we view it, and that is how I view it, does that mean that we support some of the actions which took place of, you know, attacking people on their way to the polls and stealing ballot boxes? And I'm not so sure, you know. I mean, these are questions which need to be confronted forthrightly. Okay. And you know, that's what we try to do on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, is to really, you know, because we're on late at night on a Tuesday night, and we've got an hour and a half in which we can spread out, we try to, you know, really get in deep and explore these, you know, morally and ethically and politically complex questions. And really try to hash out what do we, as progressives and anti-imperialists, think about such situations. And try to, and this is, you know, in the process, I would like to think, of truly building unity. Because unity cannot be merely imposed by fiat. It has to be actually be built through hashing issues out and actually figuring out through dialogue what we in fact think. Because I don't know exactly what I think about such complicated situations as Bolivia and Zimbabwe. And the reason that I talk about it on the air and try to take listener phone calls and all that sort of thing is in part to try to figure out what I think. So we're going to return to this issue in weeks to come, I hope, on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and maybe take some listener phone calls on these questions. But that's not what we're doing tonight. Tonight we're appealing to the listeners to call and make a pledge. Make a pledge of $75 if you can, and receive the Historical Perspectives on Africa CD, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Or just pledge $25 and become a member of WBAI. Or if you can't even afford that, then just pledge anything that you can and just show the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade some love. Now, I don't know what's going on. A minute ago, the tally stood at $135, and now it's back at zero. So, you know, I'm going to play a little bit of the interview and go back into the tally room and see what's going on. Now, I should give a couple of words about the interview, which is that you'll see that when the interview starts out, we're actually backstage at Joe's Pub, and Thomas Mopfumo has not quite warmed up to me yet, and his answers are very sort of perfunctory. But then at a certain point, and it'll be clear when, we retreat to somebody's private apartment and begin indulging in illicit substances. Herbal and harmless illicit substances. He becomes a great deal more loquacious. And that's when we really get into the thick of it. And although there isn't any place to indicate exactly where this happens on the tape, it should be quite clear to the listeners. So, and I should also say that this interview was, I'm going to give the same caveats that I gave the last time I aired it, which was a few months ago. It was not intended for broadcast. It was an interview I did for a print publication. The print publication was High Times magazine. So in addition to a certain amount of talk about Afro pop music and his tour, there's also a certain amount of talk about marijuana, or banje, as they call it in Zimbabwe. Thomas Mapfumo was very open about the fact that quite enthusiastic about the fact that he indulges. And I don't think that in any way delegitimizes what he has to say on the political tip. And he spends a great deal of time talking quite forthrightly and passionately about the political situation in Zimbabwe, which back then in 2002 was a very clear parallel to what we're seeing now, except the only now it's 5 years later and the contradictions have escalated, as it were. But also in 2002, Morgan Tsvangirai of the MDC opposition coalition there was a contested election. He claims he had his presidential election stolen from him by fraud, which is exactly seemingly what Zimbabwe is going through again. So why don't we hear just a few minutes of what Thomas Mapfumo had to say about that. And once again, while we're listening, if you want this to be yours, because this interview goes on for about 40 minutes, and we're just going to hear maybe the first 5 or 10. So if you want the whole thing to be yours, please do call 212-209-2950. I'm going to go back to the tally room and see what's up. Let's hear a little bit from Thomas Mapfumo.
So where do you call home these days?
Well, home is still Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is still my home.
So are you still welcome there?
Yeah. Sure.
You got in some trouble a few years back with some corruption, didn't you?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
What year was that? That was my favorite album.
That was I think 1988. That's when that album was released.
So there was some controversy around that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it was resolved okay?
No. Actually, when those elections were held, they were not free and fair. They were not free and fair at all. And we just hope maybe one day things are going to work out for our people. Because right now, things are not good at all. The situation is just bad. Yeah.
So what's your take on the current crisis? Let's talk about politics a little bit.
Can you come again?
What's your opinion on what Mugabe is doing in the current crisis?
He's really bad. He's doing really... He's not doing, people any good. He's actually doing disservice to the people, to his own people, the people he claimed to have liberated. And today, they are suffering because of him. They trusted him, and now he cannot trust his own people, which is really bad.
But the issue of the land is a real issue, right?
It is, but it must be done in a proper way. You know, we have to accommodate everybody who is living in Zimbabwe. The issue of land, it is a very important issue. We know our people don't have that land. But still, you have to make a serious consideration about who is who. Who is a farmer and who is not a farmer. This is very important. There are people who are specialized in farming. So let them do their job, so that they will feed the country. Yes. So we know that our people want some of the land. It's not all the land that our people want. Some certain farms must be left alone, you know, to produce our food. So I don't think that's the right way of doing it. We have to find the right solution to it. Yeah. It's like he's just not trying to get support from the people, and yet the people know exactly what is happening. They know exactly who has been making all those mistakes. They know it's their own government. It's not the white people to blame or anyone else. But ourselves. Yeah.
What are the mistakes?
Well, you know, like our country had to send, I mean, the army into Congo to go and fight a war which is not our war. Mm-hmm. And then we spent a lot of money to paying those guys there, and they finished all our money. Today, Zimbabwean dollar is just nothing.
Because of the military adventure in the Congo? Because of the military intervention in the Congo?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of money, which is not good for the country. Mm-hmm. Yes, today people are crying now. They don't even have foreign currency. They have to buy it from the street. So that's too bad for the people. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
What does Chimurenga mean? Talk a bit about that.
Chimurenga means, I mean, struggle. So, you know, the first Chimurenga was fought by our ancestors, Mbuyanehanda. She was a spirit medium, and that's the woman who actually led the first Chimurenga in our country. She fought against, I mean, colonialism, and well, she was captured and she was hanged.
That was when?
Well, that's a long time
19th
ago.
19th century?
Yeah, in 18th, I think. Uh-huh. Yes, yes. That's Mbuyanehanda. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
So she was the first Chimurenga?
Yes, yeah, she actually fought the first Chimurenga in our country.
Woman warrior?
Yeah, woman warrior, yes. She was also a medium spirit, yes. So she's the one who was actually involved in the first Chimurenga. And the captured her and they hanged her, and well, today her name, people talk about her, she's quite a big name in some of our books. Yeah.
So, and the revolution against colonial rule was the Chimurenga.
Yes.
Against Rhodes.
Yeah, sure.
And
Smith,
exactly.
Ian Smith,
right? That was another Chimurenga.
Yeah.
So what does it mean today?
In today's world, well, still, well, you mentioned Chimurenga. Well, today's world, this world is means struggle, but today. Zimbabwean people are still struggling, and if you don't want somebody, or you want to fight against something, someone who is oppressing you, someone who is denying you freedom, the Chimurenga is the best way to do it.
212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Is the number 212-209-2950 to get the historical perspectives on Africa CD to which you are listening right now, my interview with Thomas Mapfumo, the conquering lion of Zimbabwe and the king of the Afropop genre, back in 2002, speaking about the crisis in his homeland in Zimbabwe. Also, our interview with Sheikh Anwar Makin, the exiled king of Nubia and Sudanese opposition activist, is also on this CD. You can it can be yours for a pledge of $75 to this radio station, WBAI, this community institution, this temporary autonomous zone, which needs support from the listeners in order to survive. That's how the model works, listener-supported radio, as developed by Luke Hill and the founders of the Pacifica Network back in the 1940s. So that was how they designed it, something which was going to be able to be self-sustaining within the capitalist system without playing by the rules of the capitalist system. And under the sort of ethic of adversarial radio or activist radio, which developed out of that in the 1960s, for it to actually be a tool against the capitalist system, But all of this is predicated, unfortunately, because even as it is a tool against the capitalist system, and even as it is a counter vortex against the general downward spiral into complete domination of all aspects of human interaction by the logic of the market, it still needs money in order to survive, in order to stay on the air. So that's where you come in. That's where you come in. 212-209-2950. Any pledge at all will help WBAI stay on the air and be a counter vortex and be a political space for keeping alive alternative voices. Let's see what Thomas Mafumo is talking about.
I would like to just say thank you, and we help keep on promoting African music in this region.
They call a lot in Zimbabwe.
Oh, yeah. What?
They call a lot in Zimbabwe.
All right, now there's the precise moment where the interview changes from the locker room backstage at Joe's Pub to somebody's private apartment, where here's a little bit of the Banje talk. But we get back to the political tip pretty quick.
Those days are gone, though.
They're gone now.
This is members of his entourage, as well as Thomas Mafumo himself, hanging out and schmoozing.
It's really good.
It's not so good anymore?
No, it's like, you know, because a long time ago, they used to go and get it from, the countryside, you know, where...
Yeah. Well, that's here. We'll talk over this while he's giving the marijuana rap about. See, if you're interested in marijuana and Zimbabwe and how good it is and where it comes from and what they call it and the methods that they use to smoke it, well, there's a little bit of that talk on this interview as well. But also here, he'll get back to the political tip, speaking very passionately and forthrightly about the nature of the Robert Mugabe regime. Quite shortly. Meanwhile, we would like to give a big shout out to Arnold Freeman of Peekskill, New York. He said that we could give his name on the air. Also to Victor of East Rutherford, New Jersey, and to Deborah of Syosset and Zbignu of West Islip. A big thanks to all of them who made the pledge to get this CD, Historical Perspectives on Africa, which can be yours for a pledge of $75. So we just have a couple of minutes remaining, and I prevail upon the listeners to call in those couple of minutes. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Let's see if Thomas has gotten back to the political tip.
Do you think they rigged the elections, Thomas?
Yeah, they did. That's exactly what they did. They did that.
Not for the first time, right?
Yeah, it's not for the first time. But this was very serious. Because he was a bitter man.
Yeah.
What's going to happen now? What do you think is going to happen? What's the way forward for Zimbabwe, Thomas?
I'm telling you, Bob, there's going to be war. People are talking about war. Very soon you'll hear something has happened.
People are talking about war. Can it be avoided?
People just want nothing. They just want a change. Yes. Because you cannot oppress the same people you claim to have liberated. That is nonsense. That's bullshit. You are a president. You are not a president of a party. No. You are the president of the people. So you look after all the people, whether they are from the opposition party or from your party. They are all the same. They are your children. Now with that man, he doesn't care. He cares for his party, ZANU-PF. And he thinks if you are not ZANU-PF, you are no good. Then that's not good. That's not good. President, you are a father of everyone. You look after everyone.
So you continue to sing about him and...
Yeah.
politics is still in your music, right?
That's very true. You cannot run away from that above, because you know most of the poor people are suffering in this world, and if you try to pretend that everything is all right and everything is rosy, then you're making a big mistake. People are suffering in this world. We enjoy, we are dancing, we do a lot of things, and yet some people are crying and some people are being killed whilst we are dancing.
Yeah,
that's true.
And how bad is it in Zimbabwe right now, Thomas?
It's
are
really
people dying?
People are dying. Some are dying.
Well, that was actually my favorite part of the interview right there, where he says that, yes, his music is still political after all these years, because people are suffering. We're dancing. We're having a good time tonight, but people are being killed while we're dancing, and we have to deal with that. And one way of dealing with that is keeping alive an alternative voice for the airing of dissent. And we just have 2 minutes left. So can we please get the tally up at least above $300? Will one person, just one person, call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge of $75, get the Historical Perspectives on Africa CD with the interview with Thomas Mapfumo and Robert Mugabe. I'm sorry, Thomas Mapfumo and Chikanwar Makin. Call 212-209-2950. If just one person pledges, we can at least get the tally up above $300, which is about the bare minimum for, you know, even doing respectfully. In fact, you know, it stands at 260. So even if somebody just calls and pledges $40, we can at least get the tally up above 300. So will somebody please call and pledge just $40, if nothing else, 212-209-2950. If you appreciate that there's, you know, at least one place on the airwaves where we can actually air this kind of critical programming and be sort of the voice of dissent to the dissenters, if you will, be the alternative to the alternative, then, you know, show the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade some love. Call 212-209-2950. Even a pledge of just $40 will at least get the tally up above $300, and I can go home feeling like I accomplished something. Well, Tom Whisker is in the house because I saw him walking back and forth out there. So that means that it's time for Weaponry, which is coming up immediately forthwith here on listener-supported, non-commercial, use-it-or-lose-it, WBAI 99.5 FM. So we urge everybody to stay tuned for...
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.